right. Hey, good morning, guys. How we doing? All right. Hey, good to see you. Who here slept less than 6 hours last night? Less than 2 hours last night?
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm glad then that you're in a breakout about not being okay, because a little bit later on, you might not feel okay. Hey, my name's Timothy Atik. I'm one of the pastors here. This is my friend Grant Wilkie. And I want to pray for us real quick, and then we're going to jump into a really important topic. Lord, thank you so much that we get to be together today, and I just pray that you would lead and direct our time. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, today we're just talking about not being okay, and that can apply to a lot of different things. We could, when we talk about not being okay, we might just be talking about having a bad day. But we also could be talking about, hey, you know what? You feel anxious a lot, like you worry a lot. You feel anxious about things. Or we might be talking about you feeling down for a lot of days in a row. We could even be talking about the idea of thinking about not wanting to live anymore. So we're talking about a spectrum from I've had a bad day to I don't know if I want to live anymore. The reason that Grant and I are doing this is that we've both had our own experiences of not being okay. Grant, would you just share a little bit of yours real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. First off, thank y'all for letting us join us. I said that last time too. Thank y'all for letting us join you. We can't join us because we are us. Thank y'all for letting us join you. We're so grateful to be here, and this is such an important topic. My engagement with mental health, my awareness of it, started my freshman year of high school. I had the most normal, wonderful childhood in the world. My life, genuinely, from the outside, looked wonderful. I mean, I was good at most things I got to do, a lot of success, many, many friends. I mean, I was the, guys, you're sitting in the presence of the winner of the fourth and fifth grade spelling bee of my elementary school. I mean, so many accomplishments. Thank you. Come on. Thank you. I had a wonderful life. And still my freshman year of high school, I really, really, really started struggling with my mental health. I found out later that it was a genetic thing that really most of my family struggles with, but I started struggling with clinical depression and anxiety. And then through high school, struggled with that to the point where I really started struggling with suicidal ideation. I don't know if that's any of y'all's story, but through college as well, my depression in some ways fell off as my anxiety spiked like crazy, leading to other things like depersonalization, if you ever heard of that, which just is really the idea that you don't feel like you are in your body, kind of feels like you're watching someone else live, which was really, really confusing and incredibly hard to be a 20-year-old and feeling like you don't even know yourself. So I've been kind of all over the place, but God in his kindness has allowed me to no longer be limited by that. But I would say that anxiety is still something that I deal with, not on a regular basis, but definitely something I still deal with every once in a while. Yeah. What about you, TA?
Yeah, for me, I will never forget, I was sitting in my college apartment. And I had a great life in college. I lived with four other guys. I had a lot of friends in college. And I was involved in different organizations and activities. And yet I remember sitting in my college apartment and just feeling sad. Like, I remember crying in my apartment, and I didn't know why I was crying. I just know that I felt really down, which was really interesting that life was going well and I still felt down. What I realized later is that God has wired every person with a different personality. Some of you guys are always going to be happy. Like, you just see life really positively. And then other people have a tendency to just feel more down. I'm one of those people that God has made me to be a feeler, that I feel a lot of things. And a lot of times I feel things very strongly, even stronger than other people will feel. And so I know what it is like to just have a tendency towards feeling down. Mm-hmm. And then there's also been times in my life where things have not been going well, like everything feels like it's going wrong in life, and that's led me to feeling down. So I've struggled with anxiety, just worrying a lot. I've struggled with leanings towards depression. And there's been times in my past where I've even had thoughts about not wanting to live. And I share that with you just as one of the pastors at this church, that if you're here today and you've had any of those feelings, you're not alone. Like, you're not alone. And so it's not just that Grant and I have had those experiences. What's interesting is when you look in the Bible, there are people in the Bible who had some of those same feelings. I think about a guy in the Bible named Job, and he was a guy that everything went bad for him. And listen to some of the things that he wrote. Listen to what he says in Job chapter 3, verse 3. He says, "Let the day of my birth be erased in the night I was conceived." Do you know what he's saying? He's saying, "I wish I had never been born." Like, that's how bad my life is. He goes on in verse 11 and says, "Why wasn't I born dead? Why didn't I die as I came from the womb?" Verse 13, "Had I died at birth, I would now be at peace. I would be asleep and at rest." Isn't that interesting? Skip over to verse 25. Listen to what he says. He says, "What I dreaded has come true. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest. Only trouble comes." Here's a guy in the Bible who's saying, "Look, I don't feel okay. Like, sometimes I wish I wasn't even alive. And I have no peace." So if you're here today and maybe you're just having a bad day, it's a good thing you're here. Or if you feel anxious a lot or leaning towards feeling down for extended periods of time, that's good you're here. And if you're one of those people that have had thoughts about not wanting to live, it's a great thing that you're here. Grant and I want to encourage you to make four choices. Four choices if you're not doing okay. Okay? The first choice is we want to encourage you to choose Christ. Grant, will you tell us about that?
Yeah. First off, when you hear the word choose Christ, immediately you think of a few things. A, I just got Jesus juked. B, of course you say that because you're at church. And we just want you guys to know up front that we're going to say more than just Jesus. We're going to talk about a lot today. But the reason we start with choosing Christ is really simple. If you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's now the foundation of your life. And so I'd love for each of you just to answer the following question in your mind. You don't have to raise your hand or anything. Do I believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior? If you've answered yes to that, let me read you a verse that's now true of you. This is from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." That means that if you answered yes to that question, if you consider yourself a Christian, if you've placed your faith in Jesus, that every spiritual blessing that God has to give you, he gives you in Christ. The reason we say that you must choose Christ first is because that's actually how you access the spiritual blessing that God has for you. And to make this practical, let me just read one verse. This is from Hebrews chapter 4. This is what it means to get the blessings of Christ for us. This is verse 16. It says, I think 15 and 16 are on there. I'll read them both. It says, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness." You might ask what a high priest is in Israel, which is the nation that Jesus came from. They had a high priest who would go and sacrifice on behalf of the nation to cleanse their sin. And it says, "We don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, because we have one because we have someone who sympathizes with our weakness, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need." So because Jesus gets us and because he can sympathize with our weakness, we can receive mercy from him and we can find grace to help us in time of need. If you combine those two ideas, Ephesians 1, you get all spiritual blessings in Christ, and Hebrews 4, some of those spiritual blessings are mercy and grace and help in time of need. This is ultimately how we get help from God. We abide with Christ, we listen to him, and we pray and we talk with him. What a great gift it is that God wants to bless each and every one of you in Christ just by the simple aspect of your relationship with him. First, if we want a healthy spiritual life, want a healthy emotional life, healthy life in general, we would argue that you must choose Christ first.
TA, anything you'd add to that?
Yeah, here's what I'd say. I've got three boys. Two of them are here. Noah's in the room today. He's in eighth grade. My sixth grader, Andrew, is also here in a different breakout. And one of the truths that I want my boys to know that we talk about is, this is just very simple. It's that God is with you and can help you. Would you just say that out loud with me? God is with you and can help you. I want you to know that. That God is, he's always with you and he can help you. Jesus loves you. He truly does. Jesus is with you all the time and he wants to help you. That's why we're talking about choosing Christ. The second choice that we want to encourage you to make is to choose to tell. Mm-hmm. When we talk about choosing to tell, we're just talking about you making the choice to choose to tell someone that you're not doing okay. Maybe you feel lonely. Maybe you feel rejected by some friends. Maybe you feel like you don't have any friends. Mm. One of the best things you can do is choose to tell someone. It might be today you might choose to tell your leader. You might go home and choose to tell your parents. What's interesting is that when you're feeling down, you know what you're naturally going to do? You're naturally going to want to tell no one. Mm-hmm. And we want to do the opposite of what feels like the right thing to do.
Yeah.
There's this thing called smiling depression. Smiling depression is feeling down, but trying to fake everyone out. You go to school, you go to sports, and you put a smile on your face. And when people are like, hey, is everything good? Are you doing all right? You smile and say that you are good when you're actually not. You're living a lie. You're faking people out. I want you to hear the words of the wisest person that ever walked on the planet besides Jesus Christ. Listen to what King Solomon said. It's really interesting. He said, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? Hmm. So what Solomon does is he says, hey, picture someone on a journey. And if there's a pit and they accidentally fall into the pit, that's a really bad day, especially if they're by themselves and they don't have someone to help pull them out. He says, look, if you lay down to sleep at night and it's freezing outside and you're all alone, that's a problem. But if you're with other people, you can put your sleeping bags really close together, especially if you're trying to avoid hypothermia, you're trying to fend for your life, you move those sleeping bags closer together just so you can feed off of the warmth of other people. God sometimes uses his people to keep his people warm. Okay, life can get really cold sometimes. And if you're not careful, you're just going to make a choice to shiver all alone because you think that that's what makes you strong, okay? If you were to tell your parents or you were to tell your leader that you're not doing okay, you might think that that makes you look weak or not like you're not a good Christian or you're not spiritual enough. It's the opposite. For you to actually tell someone, hey, I'm not doing okay,
amen,
that makes you strong.
Amen.
That's actually a display that you're a strong individual. It takes a strong person to admit that you're not okay. Anything you'd add to that, Grant?
Yeah, I'd say three simple things. What we do when we hide from each other in a relationship, when we're not honest about our struggles, sometimes we think that doesn't affect anything. Like, I'm the only one holding this, I'm the only one feeling this, so it's not gonna impact me or anyone else as long as I don't say anything, as long as I don't admit it. That's how I felt for many, many years. I just kept it all bottled up inside of me. And I wish that someone had told me these three things. Not sharing your burdens hurts you because it makes you carry things alone. It hurts your relationships because it makes them inauthentic, their secrets, and it hurts others because it prevents them the opportunity to bless their friends. Have you ever had a friend ask you for help and you've laughed in their face? Probably not. Have you ever had someone ask you to help them and you just said no and walked away? Probably not. We love to bless our friends. We love to be there for each other and support each other and help each other. And what a great gift it is when a friend comes to us and says, I need help. Anytime you open up to your friends or your family, you give them an opportunity to be blessed in blessing you. What a great gift that is. This next idea that we'd like to talk about, this third choice, is that we'd encourage you to choose to go. Not just to say something, which is a good step, but also, if it would be helpful, to choose to do something about it. To choose to potentially consider going to see a counselor or pursuing medical help. I'll talk on the first aspect of counseling, and TA will talk about the more physical side of medication and doctors in a moment. But think about this. Sometimes we really do need professional help for anything. Let's say you get a scrape on your arm. You might not need to go to a doctor for that, but if you break your arm, you probably do. If you have one bad day, you might not need to go to a counselor to talk about it. But if every day feels like a bad day, there's probably something more going on that you might need an expert's help dealing with and thinking through, just like you would with your physical health. Now, to be clear up front, who you're actually engaging with as a counselor, whether it's a professional counselor or who you're getting counsel from with your friends and family, that definitely matters, because people with different values and different opinions are going to lead you in different ways. And I'll prove that right now. Raise your hand if you like hamburgers. See, not everyone needs to raise their hand, but raise your hand if you like hamburgers. If you're not raising your hand, you might be crazy. It's okay, though. Raise your hand if you like mayo on your burger. Disgusting. Raise your hand if you like mustard on your burger. Raise your hand if you like pickles on your burger. All three of those things just make me want to squirm. Let's say me and TA are going to lunch, and TA loves his burgers slathered with mayo, mustard, and loaded with pickles. Now, I know you're a sane man, so you'd never have that. But if TA is ordering his burger and he's getting that, and I say, just get me whatever you want, and get me whatever you get, I want that, and he brings me back a burger with pickles and mayo and mustard, I will probably take one bite and want to vomit, and I'll throw it away, and I'll go order my own stuff. The reason I share that is because people with different opinions and people with different values are going to lead you to make different decisions. And so someone who, let's say, holds the word of God and the principles of God, the Christian life in high esteem, that thinks it's important to act and think like a Christian, they are going to lead you in a way that is different than someone who doesn't think that those things are important would lead you. A Christian counselor might be, a Christian counselor is what we would encourage everyone to consider first and foremost, because their values are going to line up with the person that you want to be in Christ. Remember, we talked earlier about how every spiritual blessing comes to us through Christ. And the ways that we get counsel form us into the types of people, and form us into different types of people. If you're getting counsel from a Christian who is helping you become more and more and more of the person that Christ wants you to be, it's going to form you in a way that you're going to be excited about going. That's not saying you can't explore counselors who don't hold Christian values. It's not saying that you cannot go to a counselor who is not explicitly a Christian counselor. But we would encourage you to think about the fact that where you get counsel from matters. And a Christian counselor that holds the same values as you do is going to be most helpful for you with your spiritual and mental health. TA, anything you'd add to that?
Yeah, I would just say, how do you know if it would be helpful to get more professional help? Because Grant said, hey, if you're just having a bad day, you might not need to do that. Here's some things to look out for. If you feel sad or empty on most days, pay attention to that. Or if you have little interest in most activities, that might be a problem. Or if there's significant changes in your appetite, you really don't want to eat anything, then that could be a problem. Or if you're having trouble sleeping or you never want to get out of bed, that might be a problem. If you feel worthless or guilty a lot, or difficulty concentrating to make decisions, or you have different thoughts of just not wanting to live, all of those might be signs that it might be helpful to go and talk to someone who's actually like trained in the brain, okay? What was helpful for me as in the past where I've struggled with different hard things, with anxiety or feeling down, every time I've gone to my doctor, I'm just talking about your normal doctor. Like if you had a cold or the flu and you went to see the doctor, I'm talking about that doctor. Every time I've gone to a doctor that's a Christian, And what they've told me is that they've said, hey, TA, there is a spiritual aspect of things, of feeling down. There's a spiritual component. That's why we talked about choosing Christ. If you're feeling down, one of the best things you can do is pray and talk to God. But then they also said that there is sometimes a physiological component, that your brain actually might not be working how it's supposed to be working. Things aren't firing how they're supposed to be firing. And when that happens, you might need some medical help. So there might even be cases where a doctor is going to recommend that you try some medicine. Now, this is where I want to really be careful, because if you go home and you're like, the church told me I need to get on medicine, that's not going to go well with your parents, and I'm going to have 100 phone calls. I'm happy to talk to your parents. But I just wanted to tell you, hey, I've tried medicine before, and the reason I did was I talked to a medical professional who just said, look, TA, life sometimes can feel like climbing a mountain, and if you constantly feel like you're just at the bottom of the mountain, what medicine will do is not take away the mountain. It'll just move you a little bit further up the mountain so that as you're praying and seeking the Lord and talking to your parents and talking to friends, you can function. So I tell you that just to say, medication prescribed by the hands of wise, experienced, discerning, even godly medical professionals can actually be a gift from God. The best thing you can do is just tell your parents, hey, could I go and talk to our doctor about how I'm feeling? So we want to encourage you to choose Christ, choose to tell, maybe choose to go and get more professional help. And then finally, the last choice is to choose to live. Some of you here in the room right now might have had thoughts of not wanting to live. Hmm. And if that's you, what we're talking about is the idea of suicide. And to be clear on what suicide is, and I want to make sure everyone hears this, when we talk about suicide, what we are talking about is a wrong way of dealing with real pain, okay? You might be experiencing real pain. Mm. You might be sad. You might be hurting. And suicide is a wrong way to deal with that real pain. Mm. I think about what the psalmist said in Psalm 118. He said, I shall not die, but I shall live. Mm. I shall not die. He made a decision. I'm not going to die. I am choosing to live. And I think about what Jesus says in John 10:10. He said, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. So Jesus, the reason that Jesus left heaven and came to earth was so that we could live. We could live today, and we could live with God for all of eternity. The good news of Christianity is that Jesus died so that we could live. Jesus wants you to live. God wants you to live, and so do I. Sometimes all we need to hear is that someone cares. Mm. And so I just want to tell you, if you're in that place where you've thought about wanting to take your own life, it might be because you think that no one cares. You know what's interesting is that almost half of the people who consider suicide tell no one. Hmm. And the reason that they don't tell anyone is because they don't think that anyone will care.
Yeah.
But you won't know that someone cares until you actually tell them. And I promise you, if you were to tell someone that you're thinking about not living, you're going to see that there are people who really do care about you. I'm telling you right now, like, if you've thought about taking your life, or right now you have a plan, you should tell your leader. You can come up and tell Grant and me. Go find Jermaine or Jonathan Linder and tell them. And you know what you're going to find out? You're going to find out that some people genuinely do care. There's just a couple things I want you to know before we're done. Number one, when you think about suicide, what you have to remember is that suicide isn't the end of the pain. It might be the end of your pain, but it will be the beginning of someone else's pain. Mm. Suicide doesn't end pain. It just transfers it from you to the people who actually love you.
Yeah.
Okay? When people do take their life, you know what? They often write a note to their family and friends, and in that note, they say that they love them. Mm. But suicide is the absolute worst way to show someone that you actually do love them. That's the wrong way to communicate it. And then the other thing I want you to know is what you feel today will not be what you feel for forever. Feelings do change. They might not change today or tomorrow, but they will change. Suicide is often a permanent decision to deal with temporary pain. Okay? So what I want to end with is just what the experience Jesus had was when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying on the night that he was betrayed by Judas, arrested, and then crucified. It says this. Jesus says, "My soul is overwhelmed." It's overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Isn't that interesting? This is Jesus himself, and he's saying, "My soul is so overwhelmed. I feel sad. I feel sorrowful to the point of death." Yeah. You know what that means? It means that if you feel down, or if you've, Jesus knows exactly how you felt.
Amen.
But what's really cool is that Jesus goes on, and do you know what he prays to God? He says, "Not my will, but your will be done." He's saying, "Look, I feel very sad right now, but God, I want to do whatever you want me to do." So the best place to be is in a place where you can say, "You know what, I feel really down right now, but God, I want to do whatever you want me to do." So the best thing that you can do is to make four decisions. What are they? Number one, choose Christ. Number two, choose to tell. Like, don't leave D-Town without telling someone. Go tell your leader. Go tell Linder. Go tell Jermaine. You can come up and tell us. Choose to tell. Number three, you might choose to go. Go home and tell your parents, "Hey, could we talk to a doctor? I don't think I'm doing that well." Yeah. And then some of you today, you need to choose to live. All right? Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, I do pray for every individual in this room. God, feelings, you have wired us to feel. And I thank you for that, God. But sometimes life can be really difficult. And so I pray that if there's anyone in this room that feels down or is feeling depressed or anxious or even about taking their life, I pray that today they would choose to tell, choose to go, choose to live, and ultimately choose you, Lord Jesus. We love you. Amen.